Welcome to Bible News Press. Our goal is to discuss biblical faith beyond cliches and buzzwords, whether such words are religious or political. Sometimes we sit around the table and fellowship. Sometimes we do a little time travel. It is all part of our journey with our Abba Father, who has given us the key to life. We do it with Jesus, and we do it together. Welcome.
Hello, I'm Laura. I will be reading Ezekiel chapter 23 from the World English Bible. Yahweh's word came again to me, saying, "Son of man, there were two women, the daughters of one mother. They played the prostitute in Egypt. They played the prostitute in their youth. Their breasts were fondled there, and their youthful nipples were caressed there. Their names were Aholah the elder, and Aholibah her sister. They became mine, and they bore sons and daughters. As for their names, Samaria is Aholah, and Jerusalem Aholibah. Aholah played the prostitute when she was mine. She doted on her lovers, on the Assyrians her neighbors, who were clothed with blue, governors and rulers, all of them desirable young men, horsemen riding on horses. She gave herself as a prostitute to them, all of them the choicest men of Assyria. She defiled herself with the idols of whoever she lusted after. She hasn't left her prostitution since leaving Egypt, for in her youth they lay with her. They caressed her youthful nipples, and they poured out their prostitution on her. Therefore I delivered her into the hand of her lovers, into the hand of the Assyrians on whom she doted. These uncovered her nakedness. They took her sons and her daughters, and they killed her with the sword. She became a byword among women, for they executed judgments on her." Her sister, Aholibah, saw this, yet she was more corrupt in her lusting than she, and in her prostitution, which was more depraved than the prostitution of her sister. She lusted after the Assyrians, governors and rulers, her neighbors, clothed most gorgeously, horsemen riding on horses, all of them desirable young men. I saw that she was defiled. They both went the same way. She increased her prostitution, for she saw men portrayed on the wall, the images of the Chaldeans portrayed with red, dressed with belts on their waists, with flowing turbans on their heads, all of them looking like princes, after the likeness of the Babylonians in Chaldea, the land of their birth. As soon as she saw them, she lusted after them, and sent messengers to them in Chaldea. The Babylonians came to her into the bed of love, and they defiled her with their prostitution. She was polluted with them, and her soul was alienated from them. So she uncovered her prostitution and uncovered her nakedness. Then my soul was alienated from her, just like my soul was alienated from her sister. Yet she multiplied her prostitution, remembering the days of her youth in which she had played the prostitute in the land of Egypt. She lusted after their lovers, whose flesh is as the flesh of donkeys, and whose issue is like the issue of horses. Thus you called to memory the lewdness of your youth in the caressing of your nipples by the Egyptians because of your youthful breasts. Therefore, Aholibah, the Lord Yahweh says, "Behold, I will raise up your lovers against you, from whom your soul is alienated, and I will bring them against you on every side. The Babylonians and all the Chaldeans, Pekod, Shoah, Koah, and all the Assyrians with them, all of them desirable young men, governors and rulers, princes and men of renown, all of them riding on horses, they will come against you with weapons, chariots, and wagons, and with a company of peoples. They will set themselves against you with buckler, shield, and helmet all around. I will commit the judgment to them, and they will judge you according to their judgments. I will set my jealousy against you, and they will deal with you in fury. They will take away your nose and your ears. Your remnant will fall by the sword. They will take your sons and your daughters, and the rest of you will be devoured by the fire. They will also strip you of your clothes and take away your beautiful jewels. Thus I will make your lewdness to cease from you, and remove your prostitution from the land of Egypt, so that you will not lift up your eyes to them, nor remember Egypt any more. For the Lord Yahweh says, Behold, I will deliver you into the hand of them whom you hate, into the hand of them from whom your soul is alienated. They will deal with you in hatred, and will take away all your labor, and will leave you naked and bare. The nakedness of your prostitution will be uncovered, both your lewdness and your prostitution. These things will be done to you because you have played the prostitute after the nations, and because you are polluted with their idols. You have walked in the way of your sister, therefore I will give her cup into your hand. The Lord Yahweh says, You will drink of your sister's cup, which is deep and large. You will be ridiculed and held in derision. It contains much. You will be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, with the cup of astonishment and desolation, with the cup of your sister Samaria. You will even drink it and drain it out. You will gnaw the broken pieces of it and will tear your breasts. For I have spoken it, says the Lord Yahweh. Therefore the Lord Yahweh says, Because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back, therefore you also bear your lewdness and your prostitution. Yahweh said moreover to me, Son of man, will you judge Ahola and Aholibah? Then declare to them their abominations, for they have committed adultery, and blood is in their hands. They have committed adultery with their idols. They have also caused their sons, whom they bore to me, to pass through the fire to them to be devoured. Moreover, this they have done to me. They have defiled my sanctuary in the same day, and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it, and behold, they have done this in the middle of my house. Furthermore, you sisters have sent for men who come from far away, to whom a messenger was sent, and behold, they came. For whom you washed yourself, painted your eyes, decorated yourself with ornaments, and sat on a stately bed, with a table prepared before it, whereupon you set my incense and my oil. The voice of a multitude being at ease was with her, with men of the common sort were brought drunkards from the wilderness, and they put bracelets on their hands and beautiful crowns on their heads. Then I said of her who was old in adulteries, Now they will play the prostitute with her, and she with them. They went into her, as they go into a prostitute. So they went into Ahola and to Aholibah, the lewd women. Righteous men will judge them with the judgment of adulteresses, and with the judgment of women who shed blood, because they are adulteresses, and blood is in their hands. For the Lord Yahweh says, I will bring up a mob against them, and will give them to be tossed back and forth and robbed. The company will stone them with stones, and dispatch them with their swords. They will kill their sons and their daughters, and burn up their houses with fire. Thus I will cause lewdness to cease out of the land, that all women may be taught not to be lewd like you. They will recompense your lewdness on you, and you will bear the sins of your idols. Then you will know that I am the Lord Yahweh. That is the end of chapter 23. This was an especially difficult passage to read, very intimate and graphic, even more so than some of the previous ones. So one of the first things I asked myself is why? What is God expressing and communicating through such descriptions? It's not that prophets haven't written using prostitution as a picture of Israel abandoning God before, like I mentioned, and after all, the whole life of poor Hosea was a sign of this, but I think the things that stood out here in chapter 23 is how deeply personal all of this is, both to us and to God. Relationship with God, our Creator and Judge and Savior, Savior for those who repent, is not some esoteric or sideline issue. It is deeply personal one way or another. It is either proper and loving or it is corrupt and disgusting. The whole of Israel is here represented by the two capital cities of the divided kingdom, and this is Israel who was supposed to represent to the whole world a proper relationship with Yahweh. But to quote verse 35, they have forgotten him and cast him behind their backs. There is a clarification about Samaria here that might be helpful. It came up in a recent discussion. Samaria here in Ezekiel 23, in this general time period of the Old Testament, was the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. When the people of Israel came into the land, it was just a hill, according to 1 Kings 16:24, and that's where it mentions that Omri, the fifth king of the northern kingdom after it split, and the father of the infamous Ahab, purchased this hill to build a city there, which was 30 miles north of Jerusalem. And this happened in roughly 925 BC. Then after the fall of both the northern and the southern kingdoms, the Babylonian captivity and the Persians and the Greeks, you get the Roman Empire, which was the empire of the New Testament times. During those times, some 570 years after Ezekiel stopped prophesying, the region that had previously been the kingdoms of Israel was divided into regions by the Romans, and we predominantly hear of Galilee in the north around the Sea of Galilee, Samaria in the middle, which is the land between the north and the south, and then Judea, which is the area all around Jerusalem. By this time in the New Testament, the Samaritans was the label for non-Jewish people who lived there. According to 2 Kings 17:24, the cities of Samaria were filled with people captured from other nations, but the account goes on to say how God sent lions to teach them to fear him. So the king of Assyria sent a couple of priests to teach them how to appease the god of the land. So, per 2 Kings 17:33, they ended up with a perverted notion of worshiping God and their gods, which explains Jesus' comment in John 4:22 to the woman at the well about how Samaritans don't know what they worship. So that should help with the understanding of Samaria here in Ezekiel versus Samaria in the New Testament. Getting back specifically to Ezekiel 23, it begins with these names that probably made more sense to the Israelites at the time. And this is one of those cases where the exact translation is fuzzy, but that doesn't mean we miss the glaring meaning of the rest of what is said. The most that seems clear about the names is that Ohola, the name for Samaria, means something about a woman and a tent. And Oholibah is a play on words of some sort, possibly meaning tent in her. What is clear is that both of these allegorical women are prostitutes. They don't have any incentive to be prostitutes other than their own wicked hearts. They don't need love or care. They had both perfectly in Yahweh, but they go out looking for varied and perverse intimacy. The irony is that even these people that they are giving themselves over to hate them and will take opportunity to destroy them. I have lately been researching the so-called new spirituality that is infiltrating our modern cultures and even deceiving some who are Christian. It has struck me how similar this scenario is. Here today, we have doctrines of demons dressed up in a variety of costumes from psychology to the book The Shack, offering, as it seems, peace, fulfillment, intimacy with the spiritual side of life, self-realization, and even world peace. But the real forces behind these offers hate us. They want to destroy us. This is much like what God describes here in Ezekiel 23. Here we have the description of the beautifully clothed, alluring, gorgeous in worldly terms, pagan systems of Assyria and Babylon that seemed so desirable to the people of Israel, both the northern and the southern kingdom. And not right just then. They had been seeking intimacy, prostitution, with these idols since they were in Egypt, and that's mentioned in verses 3 and 8. Then again in verse 11, we hear that the southern kingdom has been more corrupt, like we've heard earlier in Ezekiel, even though she saw the end result for the northern kingdom. Verses 17 and 18, 22 and 28 use the word alienated in references to both her illicit lovers and God. So I looked it up, and it is the same word used in the New King James Version. Alienated means dislocated or torn away. It seems to be, actually, the same Hebrew word used in Genesis 32:26 when God dislocates Jacob's hip. What makes sense to me here is that they are choosing alienation from God, seeking intimacy elsewhere, but end up alienated anyway because prostitution doesn't actually lead to a loving relationship. It destroys relationships. This is reminiscent of Ezekiel 16, verses 36 through 41, where it also says that Israel's allegorical lovers will destroy her. Another historical reference to all of this is in 2 Kings 16, verses 10 through 18. This is where King Ahaz, who was then king of Judah, turned to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, for help. And after he came back from talking with Tiglath-Pileser, he was enthralled with a pagan altar that he had seen there, and he ordered a copy of it to be built by the priest in Jerusalem. And then he even ordered the bronze altar of the temple to be moved around, and to his shame, this priest did as he was asked. In Ezekiel 23, verses 37 and 39, we have another horrible description of them killing their own children for these awful idols, burning them. This is in utter antipathy to the command to go forth and multiply in Genesis that they were given both in the garden and after the flood. And they aren't just sacrificing their children anywhere, and they have done it over and over in the sanctuary where God was to be met and worshiped. What will all this get them? Scorn and destruction, sorrow and desolation. In verse 34, imagery of them tearing at their own breasts in agony is quite the contrast to the caressing that they sought described in verse 8. Notice again that while verse 25 says, "They will take your sons and daughters," that when you get to verses 36 through 39, you realize this is a rescue. Although some of them will die, as we will hear later in the passage. Verse 45 speaks of righteous men judging them. This brings to mind a couple of things. First, we have the section in Hebrews chapter 11 speaking of righteousness obtained by faith. It begins in Hebrews 10:38, which is quoting Habakkuk 2 verses 3 and 4, which Paul also quotes in Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11. Along the same lines, we have as far back as Deuteronomy 1, verses 16 and 17 that talk about judging cases impartially. And then you can also look at Matthew 12, 41, where it says, "The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." And then the next section says the same of the Queen of Sheba. Along these same lines, we have John 7:24, where Jesus says, "Don't judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." And this is a sampling of references to proper judgment. Then second, we can see in Matthew 7:1 the well-known caution about self-righteous judgment, especially without taking care of your own folly. If you condemn someone for something without your own proper repentance and humility, you should be aware that the same judgment is also your due. You could do a much more extensive study about careful and right biblical judgment, but I just wanted to recognize that it is repentant faith that gives someone righteousness, and you can see how it makes perfect sense that someone who refuses to repent receives appropriate judgment. And here in Ezekiel, we have seen over and over that the people in this generation here have refused repentance, and thus they are forfeiting mercy. I'll just add, because this is such a contentious topic, that people who rely on misusing Matthew 7:1 to shut down conversations are either ignorant or hypocrites. Everyone judges right and wrong all the time. And even if it is a warped sense of right and wrong, even the most perverted people want to hold others accountable to judge them for things. And some of those even want to kill you for thinking that they are sinful, all the while claiming to be tolerant of everyone's religions and telling us not to judge. In this same section about judging, verse 45, it mentions these people have shed blood, which implies they have murdered the innocent because they are adulteresses. Then in verse 47, it does say the mob that comes to destroy them will kill their sons and daughters. Now, this does not necessarily mean children, but it is also the fault of the wicked people of Israel that such violence is coming. If it is children, it is a horrible thing that children die due to the wickedness of adults. Then finally, the purpose of all of this in the last couple of verses, to rid the land of the lewdness and to at least try to teach other women, aka nations and peoples, not to be this way. One way or another, they will know who the Lord Yahweh is. He gives all of us a choice. Know him in his offer of mercy and grace based on his way of salvation, or know him as the judge of all the earth who brings goodness through cleansing of evil. I will put a link on my website of a video that I recommend to get an overview of how the new spirituality, the demonic doctrines, are infiltrating our modern culture so that you can be on the alert. That's all for today. Thanks for listening.
That is the Bible News Press segment for today, but not the end of our journey.